What does it mean to worship? What does that word actually mean? It's a word we use all the time, worship. To worship means to place something or someone at the center of your life. That nothing is more important than that one thing or that one person. And here's the key point too, you're even willing to sacrifice for that one thing or that one person. As human beings, we were made to worship. It's in our spiritual DNA. We were created to worship something. All throughout human history, in every nation, in every culture, human beings have worshiped something. We have to worship. Now, you might come across some modern atheist, non-practicing anything, enlightened individual who says, well, I don't worship anything. That's that primitive thing from days past. Those primitive people who worship the birds and the stars and the sun. We're so much more enlightened now as modern man. I don't worship anything. Yeah, that's not true. The modern intellectual atheist who's so enlightened, you know what he worships? Netflix. He worships his phone. He worships comfort, pleasure in all its forms. He worships his kids' hockey team. He worships stuff. Or he worships probably the most popular thing to worship all throughout human history, aside from God, is that he worships me. Not me like Father Brian Park, but he worships himself. The worship of the self, that I am the center of my own universe and everything revolves around me. We were created to worship. I want to look at this last temptation of Jesus. Every year on the first Sunday of Lent, we always read about the temptation of Jesus in the desert by the devil. Either Matthew, Mark, or Luke's account. This year we have Matthew's account. And the last temptation, really the greatest and most clear temptation of what the devil wants. Then the devil took Jesus up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, all these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me. All the kingdoms of the world I'll give to you, the devil says to Jesus. Which in a certain sense he has the power to do. Jesus says in John's gospel that the devil is the ruler of this world. All you have to do, Jesus, is put me at the center of your heart. Not your father. What is the devil's ultimate goal? It's actually not this. I mean, he's perfectly happy if people choose to worship him, and sadly, there are people who do. But really, this actually isn't the fundamental desire of the evil one. His fundamental mission is not to get everyone in the world to worship him. He's happy if someone does. But his fundamental desire is to get everyone in the world to worship something that's not God. If I worship someone or something that's not God, then the devil wins. I join his rebellion. That's why the evil one, that's why Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, because he refused to worship God. He refused to serve God alone. And he tries to get the human race to join in his rebellion against worshiping God. Thus, Jesus responds to this final temptation by quoting scripture, just like he does every single time. All three temptations, he responds by quoting scripture. They all come from the different parts of the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, 'The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve.'" Why doesn't everyone do that? Why don't we all do what Jesus just said? Why don't we all worship God and put God in the center of our life, our Heavenly Father in the center of our lives? Why don't we do that? Well, we're weak. We're sinners. We're broken. And we give in to the temptation. We give in to the lie that somehow worshiping God, putting God at the center, is not going to satisfy me. We see this very clearly in the first reading. The story of the first sin, the first temptation, the book of Genesis, when the devil tempts Adam and Eve, our first parents, for the first time ever. And in that temptation, there's this hidden lie. Because what happens in the dialogue between the devil and Eve? The devil starts to sow some doubt. Did God really say not to eat from that tree? Did he really say that? Yes, he did. If we eat of it, we'll die. Then comes the lie. You're not going to die. No, if you eat from that tree, you'll become like gods. The implication in that temptation is what John Paul II said. The first temptation was an attack on the fatherhood of God. Because implied in that temptation is that God is not your Heavenly Father. That God is a tyrant, that God is evil, that there's something good out there and God doesn't want you to have it. So if you want to get it, God's not going to give it to you, so you better reach out and take it for yourself. You can't trust God. He really doesn't care about you. That's the lie in every temptation. And Adam and Eve, they bought into that lie and they reached out and they took it for themselves. When God wanted to give them every good thing they needed. Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father, to reveal the truth that is a lie, that lie that exists in every temptation is not true. That God is our loving Father and He wants to give us, His children, good things. And one of the greatest gifts, probably the greatest gift that the Father gives us is worship. Worship actually is not for God. It's not like God gets bigger or more powerful the more we worship Him. God is perfect. He's all perfect. He can't change. He doesn't need our praise. He wants us to praise Him. Why? Because He knows it's good for me. I need to worship God. I need to praise Him. I need to keep Him in the center of my life because that's what's going to truly satisfy me. What a gift worship is. This is why it is so important for us as Catholics to come to love what happens right here on this altar. To love the Mass. The supreme act of worship, where Jesus is made present on this altar, the offering of His body and blood for the salvation of all mankind, the greatest act of worship in human history, we get to partake in it. We get to unite ourselves to it every time we come here. If you were to take a survey of just Catholics in this country, just anyone who would, you know, self-identify as a Catholic, with just a simple one-question survey, a fill in the blank. Mass is blank. Every Catholic in this country. I guarantee the number one answer would be Mass is boring. Why do I say that? Because studies will show that on any given Sunday, about 75% of Catholics are not at Mass, are not worshiping God. Because Mass is boring. Worship is boring. I worship something else. I worship my son's basketball team. I worship the cabin that I have, and it's much better to just relax there on the weekends. I worship sleeping in, whatever, you name it, right? And so this is boring. I worship entertainment. I always say, remember, mass does not exist to entertain you. It's not my job. It's not Deacon's job. We're not here to entertain you. This isn't a concert. This isn't a theater production. This isn't a movie. It's in a baseball game. Mass does not exist to entertain you. No, the mass exists to sustain you in worship, because I need to worship God. Would that we all come to love the Mass. No saint ever said the Mass is boring. Because every saint came to love in his or her life worship, and came to see the Eucharist as the greatest place to worship God. To fulfill the commandment, you shall worship God alone and serve Him alone. There is no greater thing I do in my week than come to Mass and worship God. One of the great ways, a side note practically, I mentioned this last weekend. If you want to grow in your love for the Mass, love for worship of God, come to daily Mass on occasion. I know a lot of you do come to daily Mass during the week when you have a chance, and that's a great thing. But if you're not used to coming to daily Mass, boy, that's a great thing to do, especially during Lent. Make that your Lenten commitment. I'm going to go to one daily Mass, of course, along with Sunday. I'm going to go to one daily Mass a week. Get an extra Mass in every week. That's a great way to grow in the love for worship and love for the Mass. I sometimes think that every Christian should have a plaque in their homes that has this scripture passage that Jesus quoted to resist the temptation of the devil. Right in our homes, everywhere we see that line, the Lord your God shall you worship, and Him alone shall you serve. So that when those times come, which it comes for all of us, those times of temptation, to believe the lie that worshiping God, keeping God at the center is not going to satisfy me, that breaking His commandments, that's what I actually want. When that lie comes, I can look up at that plaque in my home, and I can read, the Lord your God shall you worship, and Him alone shall you serve.